So I just don't think the home run jacket is going to carry over into 2023. Lourdes Gurriel's gone. Teoscar's gone. There's all these old crew members out. A new crew is in. They'll come up with something else, I think.
Maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked if it stuck around. It's just
like a romper or a onesie, a home run onesie. I want to see Santiago Espinal rushing to get out of his home run onesie in time for Kevin Kiermaier to put it on as they go back to back.
I want to see Vladdy trying to squeeze into a onesie that fits Santiago Espinal. That's what I want to see.
They need different sizes of onesies. That's the nice thing with the jacket. Everyone loves a big guy in a little coat, right?
Here's the answer. Hammer pants. Remember MC Hammer? Home run hammer pants.
Home run hammer going? Pants. Right. I just want to hear somebody say, Vladdy, quick, get the hammer pants.
No. Can't touch this. All right.
Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the walk-off. We've got to stop starting this way. This is the mailbag brought to you by BetStamp. BetStamp, of course, an aggregator of betting sites. So very similar to Trivago with hotels. It's going to help you find the best deal, the betting site that is going to pay out the most. Because if you're going to gamble, you might as well make as much as you can. Line shopping is all about that. And BetStamp makes it easy for you to compare which sites are paying out the best. All right. Hello, I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. This is December 29th. We are so close to the new year, 2023, right around the corner. Adam is, we're kind of limping through the holidays here as each of us are off visiting family. Adam's in Kamloops right now, but you're ready to go, bud.
I'm ready to go. I got my picture of my deceased grandfather with a bunch of horses behind me, so we are definitely on vacation visiting the family right now. Okay, we got lots to get to. I guess first and foremost, thanks for everybody in the community for helping us get to 1,000 subscribers on the Clips channel. Massive
mind blowing
over the last couple days, which has been incredible.
I just want to put it in perspective for everybody here. Okay, we started this Clip channel, what was it, 2 months ago, Adam?
Yeah, end of November, mid-November.
And we were seeing steady growth, and all of you were really helpful in getting subs up there and so on and so forth. But we set a goal at the beginning of December that we would love to hit 1,000 by Christmas. By about a week out of Christmas, we had settled with the fact that there was no possible way that we could pull this off. And then Boxing Day, all of a sudden, we gained like 200 plus subscribers in one day. I've never seen anything like it. It was so cool to watch this community push so hard for us to hit this goal. And thanks to you, we are going into 2023 already at that 1,000 sub mark. So thank you very, very much. The interaction over the last week, too, especially with the VAR show deal. Holy crap. Like, literally, we have our VAR show video is almost at 15,000 viewers in 4 days. Literally, I think there's 400 comments on that. Anyways, what I'm saying is that if your comment doesn't get chosen for mailbag today, just do the math. We're trying as hard as we can here.
It's mailbag, not mail train. Okay, we only have so much room.
We only have so much time.
Appreciate all the subscribers, though. Just from a altruistic standpoint, I want to point out that we do lots of Blue Jays prospect interviews, player interviews. Getting that subscriber count up is probably the best way to help us get on the radar of some of the bigger names. I know we've had some pretty incredible guests as it is. Tim Mesa, Danny Jansen, old-time guys like Pat Henkin, Sean Green. The list goes on and on. Loads of super talented prospects that are on the come up. Semra Burse, great kid. We get a lot of comments requesting interviews with guys like Ricky Tiedemann, Alec Manoa, Bo Bichette. I mean, shoot for the stars. Why not? But the best thing you can do to help us get interviews with those guys is just to subscribe and help the channel grow, because we look like a little bit less like two bozos when we're trying to reach out to them. So
we'll always be two bozos, but with bigger numbers, we seem more legit. You get it?
Two legit bozos. That's the third channel we're going to start. So, okay, let's get to it then.
Yes.
First one comes in. I got a DM on my Instagram, the Walk Off Podcast Instagram, from Daniel. So Daniel says, in regards to Lourdes Gurriel Jr., there seems to be general confusion about his free agent year. Some analysts saying he's a free agent in 2 years, so after the 2024 season, and some are saying he's a free agent after this year, after the 2023 season. Could you please
figure... Now, this is all about service time. This is all about service time, the amount of games played. So Adam did his research.
Says, could you figure this out for me, please? And if it is just 1 year, how does this change things and how you view the Varsho trade? So right now I'm on my laptop, so I can't do the screen sharing because I don't have the nice fancy computer at home. But Ben Nicholson-Smith, this tweet comes from November 10th, 2021. So about 13 months ago. I'll link to this tweet in the show notes. But Ben Nicholson-Smith says, one administrative note of significance to the Blue Jays. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is on track to hit free agency after the 2023 season. So there you go, after this year. Not after the 2024 season, as many had assumed. He'll have 5+ years of service after 2023. However, he would still be eligible based on the deal that he signed with the Blue Jays. So,
there it is.
He's going to get to free agency 1 year earlier than the typical major leaguer, but that is based on the contract that he negotiated when the Blue Jays bought out his arb years and stuff like that. So, this year was a walk year for Teoscar Hernandez. We knew that. That made sense in part of the calculation in terms of getting rid of him for, Eric Swanson.
Yes.
The relief pitcher we got from the Mariners. A lot of people felt like that was not the value we should have gotten for Teoscar Hernandez. I mean, was it four years of control of Eric Swanson?
3 years of Eric Swanson, and of course, Adam Macko, who is a Canadian kid, lefty pitcher, highly touted by this Blue Jays scouting system. So that was kind of the cherry on the top there. Yeah, it's the thing with expiring contracts. It's tough to get the value of the player when you only get them as a rental. And that, I think, is what we're seeing with what was returned on Teoscar. And as for Lourdes, I think he was almost... For the Blue Jays not to add more prospects on top of that Gabriel Moreno, they had to go with Lourdes. And he was an expiring contract, and it was a crowded outfield to bring in Varsho, and now they're going to go out and get a cheaper option as that fourth outfielder. Or go from within.
I mean, they got Whit Merrifield. They got Kevin Biggio. They could still go out and re-sign a Raimel Tapia.
Lukes and Addison Barger both on the 40-man.
As far as the calculus goes with the Dalton Varsho trade, I mean, I was already content with it. But this, I think, pushes me even further into contentment. It's nice to know, the clarification that Lourdes Gurriel Jr. was, in fact, going to be a free agent this year. I have no idea what money to expect out of him, but after seeing some of the contracts a guy like Brandon Nimmo got, or Michael Conforto, mm-hmm. you'd have to assume it's going to be north of $10 million a year.
Yeah, I was just going to say $10 million a year is probably a pretty good guess there, something like...
So if he gets three or four-year deal at like 40-ish million.
40 mil, yeah.
And yeah, I don't think that the Blue Jays saw him and Teoscar as part of their long-term plan. So if they weren't going to sign them in free agency next year or give them any sort of an extension, then even if you are disappointed with Eric Swanson, it's better than a qualifying offer and getting some compensatory draft picks next offseason. Can we agree on that?
Could not agree more with that. And I think one thing to keep in mind as Blue Jays fans is when we watch homegrown talents such as Teoscar Hernandez and Lourdes Gurriel Jr. come up the ranks, I know Teoscar was acquired from Houston, but we basically saw him from the point of a AAA player all the way up to a Silver Slugger. whenever you watch that development from within, I know I'm guilty of this. Sometimes it's easy to look at a guy and be like, he still has more potential. He still has more potential. You even hear folks in Blue Jays land talk about Lourdes and more potential. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is coming up on his age 30 season.
That's a great point.
You just hit a point where a guy is what he is. And I'm not saying that Teoscar and Lourdes don't have incredible value. They do. But we've seen the peak value that they bring to a team.
Yeah, and I mean, I just want to address the fact, too, that, like, we've been saying this since the Jays were eliminated from the Mariners in early October, that this was going to be an uncomfortable offseason.
Mm-hmm.
That a lot of fans were going to be upset, because if a shakeup was coming, which we both agreed was necessary, and here it is, that some fan favorites weren't going to be here anymore. Right, we didn't know which ones. We didn't know if there was a massive Bo Bichette trade somewhere happening. We didn't know if it was going to be Lourdes or Teoscar or both. Turns out it's both. We had that three catcher dragon that we had to deal with.
Yeah,
we didn't know which one of those was gone. Right, but obviously there's a lot of Alejandro Kirk fans. There's a lot of Danny Jansen believers. A lot of people really loving Gabriel Moreno, and rightly so. But yep, now we're starting to see, okay, the pieces are gone and there's going to be growing pains. It's a necessary part of the job. Every team deals with it, right? If you're an Atlanta Braves fan, you just watch Freddie Freeman go to the Braves. You watch Dansby Swanson leave. I mean, you're happy to see a guy like Sean Murphy come in and join the fold. The Braves are going to be good again next year, but it sucks watching a guy that you've loved for, you know, three, four, 5 years.
Yeah.
Leave for a name you've never really heard of before. And that's the case with Dalton Varsho for so many people.
And one of my favorite things about sports fandom is how heated arguments can get. And really, as Blue Jays fans, we just all want this team to win. You know, like, it was getting pretty heated in text with Joel. Yeah. Hey, call me. Love Joel. He just views this Varsho trade differently than we do. We tried to get him on the show, and we will, obviously. He had some family stuff he had to deal with. And so Craig Ballard, who came on the 26th, he tends to be a little bit of his own voice as well. But on this particular moment with this trade, he was with Adam and I. So it was just three of us going, oh, yeah, this Varsho deal is great. A lot of people in the comments obviously are like, you guys are idiots.
We feel
very differently. But this is what I love, man, is I love arguing with Joel over stuff. And in the end, both of us are like, well, I hope that we're both right or wrong. You know, like, it's it's like, if I'm wrong about something and the Jays win, I'm fine to take that L. I love taking losses when the Jays are correct with their evaluation of talent.
Well, I mean, and it's funny because I know both of us are believers that the Blue Jays are in good hands with Shapiro Atkins. Again, that's another divisive topic. We don't have to spend too much time on it here today. But generally, and I know I just spent all the morning of the Varsho Moreno trade talking myself into really hoping Moreno was the catcher of the future for the Blue Jays.
We did mailbag in the morning right before he was traded, and the whole show was about maybe Moreno's the guy.
Yeah. So that has aged poorly. Now, does that make me a flippity-floppity kind of a guy? Maybe. The way I look at it is, I'm not a fan of players so much as I'm a fan of the Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Blue Jay, I'm going to root for you. You know? Was I booing the TV when the Astros were on and George Springer was wearing the orange and blue? Yeah, of course. Like any good baseball fan, I was booing the Astros. But guess what? When he came to the Blue Jays and he put on the blue and the blue, all right, I'm rooting for George Springer. Like, that's exactly the way it's going to be. So, Gabriel Moreno, best of luck in Arizona. I'm glad you're not on the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Boston Red Sox.
Hear, hear.
I wish Gabriel Moreno a Hall of Fame career. And I hope he plays every single game in Arizona.
Exactly. Stay in the desert, Gabby.
But now that he's not a Blue Jay, and now that Dalton Varsho is, I love Dalton Varsho. I mean, I'm going to go into the season with an open mind, And I'm going to hope for the success of Dalton Varsho. Is that unreasonable?
It's not. And this is the thing. I think all of these people who are upset and hate this trade are in the same boat, though, right? If Varsho does well and helps this team, they're going to be like, Lourdes who? Love Dalton.
Oh, man. When Lourdes Gurriel Jr., though, signs with the Yankees next offseason, that's going to be
all right. Teoscar will be a rough one in pinstripes. Yeah.
All right. Let's pivot slightly here then, and let's talk from one outfield acquisition to the next. And let's go with Kevin Kiermaier. So one very noticeable trend that I saw in the YouTube comment section, when we signed Kevin Kiermaier, and this isn't the best metric for measuring the ability of a player or who a player is. Some people believe in war. I believe in what does their previous team think of them, right? So when we signed Kevin Kiermaier, Tampa Bay Rays fans, and yes, they do exist, they just don't go to games. But they came to our comment section, and the overwhelming response from both of them. I'm just kidding. There was more than two.
From both fans.
From both fans. All of them. All two of them. Was basically, good luck with Kevin Kiermaier. Good luck with that head case. Right? That's a bit of a red flag for me. The Dalton Varsho supporters, however, from Arizona, came to our comment section and had nothing but rave reviews for the kid.
Yeah, 100%. They were heartbroken.
You guys are going to love Dalton Varsho. Take good care of Dalton Varsho. You know, like, you guys are going to love this unicorn, right? So a lot of positivity from the Diamondbacks fans, which, by the way, the other comments were, hey, Diamondbacks aren't as bad as you seem to think we are, which, okay, I looked into it. Diamondbacks, I mean, not a playoff team last year. I think in my winners and losers list, I listed Gurriel as a loser because he was going to a bad team. So maybe that was unfair, okay? Diamondbacks, I think there's definitely reason to be hopeful if you're a Diamondbacks fan. I think they are close to being a playoff team. They are not the Pirates. They are not the Reds. They are not Oakland.
Player development. I think the Diamondbacks
are in good hands there. So I just want to address that. Kevin Kiermaier, though. Go ahead, Scott.
I was just going to say part of it, too, is that division they're in. It is tough to look at the Padres and the Dodgers and the Giants and see Arizona in there and be like, oh, Arizona's just, they're on their way.
They're just like one move away. Tough division. It's the AL East of the NL, if you will.
Yes.
Kevin Kiermaier, though. We got a comment here from, this was a great one. So Jay Swabby commented and said, Kevin being referred to as a head case, that comment has me thinking of when he stole a play away from Randy Arozarena in left field for the Tampa Bay Rays. Maybe it was isolated, or maybe it was a pattern, question mark. And then he linked to this video, and Scott, I sent it to you. We both watched it. I'm going to put the link to it in the comments or as a pinned comment at the top of this video or the show notes, or whether you're watching this on the podcast, it'll be easy to find. It's a pretty cringy video. So I'm just going to give a brief description, but I seriously strongly encourage everybody to go watch this video. It's from John Boy. We all love John Boy. Basically, sack fly to left field. This is as left field as it gets, right?
Routine fly ball to left. Like, it could not be more routine.
So Randy Arozarena settling under it, right?
Doesn't even have to move. Right at him.
Yeah. Two-step adjustment. He's settling under it. Kevin Kiermaier comes streaking over from center field, leaps over Randy Arozarena, you know, calls him off, grabs the ball. Of course, all his momentum at this point is taking him to left field, the sideline.
The left field, the left side wall, yeah.
So now he's got to adjust, make the throw home. The throw is off. It is not in time. Runner scores. Now, do I know for a fact Randy Arozarena would have made the throw home?
Probably not.
I don't know. But he was settled under it. He was coming in. His momentum had him coming forward, just like you want any left fielder to do. I don't know. It was tough to watch. The comments he made in the post the post game.
Pause
afterwards?
For a second.
Okay,
let's. That's what I was just gonna jump in and say is that this, as an isolated incident, would not concern me as much. Just a misplay. They happen. 162 game season. What was bothersome to me was the press conference afterwards, and I'll let you jump back in here, Adam. Right.
So, the press conference afterwards, and again, just go watch it. Finish this video and then go watch it. But the gist of it was Kevin Kiermaier defending his decision in the outfield with an impressive amount of confidence in his own ability. There was no apologies for stepping on a teammate's toes or the disrespect levied towards Randy or Rosarena in that moment. It was all, look, I'm one of the greatest outfielders of all time. I'm going to make that play every chance I get. If I can get there, I'm calling you off. Even referred to another play he had made in the past with Corey
Dickerson
in left field.
Which
he also didn't get the out. He did, however, point to a play where it worked out in the minor leagues when he tried it. Right. So there you go. It's a minor league move by a big league guy. It was cringy. That being said, the more I think about it, I don't want him doing that ever. But
I love the confidence.
I love the confidence and the aggressiveness. And, you know, this goes back to the, oh good, there's a dog barking now because someone's ringing my doorbell. The Bo Bichette, George Springer collision, I said adamantly, I want playmakers going for it.
Yeah.
I think as much as I hate seeing that particular play, I love that mentality. I just don't want to see it play out that way. But I do love a guy who wants the ball in his hands. A guy who wants the ball hit to him when the game is on the line. That's what you want to see. It still makes me really uncomfortable.
We'll put a little bit of a positive spin on this before we get off of this Kevin Kiermaier talk. Good friend of the show. Hilarious comedian, by the way. And a plug to his Remember the Game podcast. If you're a gaming podcast or a gaming fan at all, seriously, Remember the Game is excellent. But Adam Blank.
Rays fan.
He's a big Rays fan, and he loves Kevin Kiermaier. He was texting me right after the Jays picked him up and was like, seriously, you guys are going to love him. What he does in the outfield is mind-blowing, and he can't remember a better center fielder as a Rays fan. Which, I mean, neither can Kevin Kiermaier. He can't remember a better center fielder either.
Oh, that's great. Generally speaking, the approach to this offseason, there's going to be some major tweaks coming to Major League Baseball next year, right? Banning of the shift. That's going to help left-handed hitters. Banning of the shift. Blue Jays had four outfielders quite a bit last year.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do that anymore. I don't know that it's going to work out, but I do like seeing Ross Atkins' approach to building this team as, we're going to build for the way baseball's going to be, not what it was in the past, right? So are there going to be growing pains along the way? Sure. But I like the idea of, look, last year, our strategy was, let's have four guys in the outfield. This year, 25% reduction in manpower, so we're going to have a 30% increase in skill and productivity.
And ground covered. Yeah, and ground exactly. Covered.
So we'll see how that plays out. Okay, let's move on from there, shall we? Some love for the community. So the walk-off community has been super great. Love everybody, all the positivity, the toxic positivity, if you will. So first one coming, a tweet from Guy LaMoon says, happy to have found at the walk-off podcast here. They provide informative, independent, honest, hardworking, fan-level contribution to the hashtag Blue Jays discourse. Highly recommend. He must have us mixed up for someone else.
Very nice words, though. I really like that comment.
Yeah. I think you're looking for at the letters, Ben Nicholson Smith and Arden Swelling. They're great. Best in the business. No, very kind words there. I don't think they're all deserved, but we'll take them anyways. More love for the community. So in Discord, Ian in Discord, who's been with us basically since the beginning.
SCTI.
So what are we at? 200 plus?
Push we're 200? Well over 200 now. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we're over 200 now.
So SCTI runs a cool contest, baseball card giveaway for our Patreon members. But last week, he had a card giveaway contest and opened it up to everyone in the Discord. So just another reason to join the Discord. Super cool community there. It's pretty much self-policing. I mean, Scott and I are in there, but there's not a lot of... The nice thing with the Discord, all the arguments seem to be aimed at the point of view, not at the person, which is very unusual in this day and age. So
it's a very positive atmosphere. It's funny because there was even a conversation in there yesterday about, do we need moderators now that we're over 200? And maybe we are getting to that point. But please just keep in mind that this is about the love of baseball, the love of the Blue Jays, and respecting all of your fellow community members. I'll leave it at that.
sounds good to me. Anyways, card giveaway opened up to all of Discord. It was a beautiful signed Carlos Delgado card.
Yes!
I really wanted to win it. I'm a Discord member. Unfortunately, Scott and I were not eligible. Too bad, so sad. Yes. Carlos Delgado, one of my favorites. Anyways, long toss veteran and friend of the show, Garth Eorgi, won that card. So,
Garth.
Very cool there. Good. I hear more banging at my door. This is phenomenal production.
I'll do a little plug for Garth's YouTube channel here, Garth's Wax Facts. He's a big baseball card collector. So if you are a ball card fan, I would suggest checking it out because he kind of does box openings and goes over all of his cards that he's found. Mm-hmm. It's a cool little channel.
Yeah. Good. Okay. And then Chase, I don't know how to say this name. Chase 44 didn't win, but followed up the Garth win with a cool story about Carlos Delgado. So Che says, the first MLB game I ever went to was Jays versus Mariners in 2004. Delgado was 0-for-4, getting relentlessly booed after popping up with the bases loaded twice. He then came up in the bottom of the ninth, down 8-7, and cranked a 3-run bomb into the second deck to walk it off. Very cool.
Very cool.
Carlos Delgado, one of the all-time Hall of Fame snubs, in my opinion.
Yeah, should be in the Hall of Fame. Absolutely. Could not agree more. I know friend of the show, Jolly Allers.
I was just going to say this. There you go. Go ahead.
Does a phenomenal video on how badly Delgado got snubbed. So maybe we'll throw this in the show link to show notes too. Yeah, I don't know. If we remember. If not, check it out.
All right. Okay. Prospect talk. Let's talk prospects for a bit. At Blue Jays Blue Balls. When I was going over the show notes, I read it as Blue Jays Bombshells, and now I'm seeing it's Blue Balls. So, okay, Blue Jays Blue Balls on Twitter DM'd us. Merry Christmas, Scott and Adam. Merry Christmas to you, my good friend. I found your podcast at the trade deadline, and I've loved it ever since. Thanks for all the content for Mailbag, if you get a chance. Could you talk Addison Barger and what it would take for him to make the team? So, I want to just make an assumption on this before we get into it. I'm going to answer this question with the assumption that you mean make the team like out of camp.
Yes.
Break with the team in April.
I'm going to take that assumption too. For those of you who have not heard of Addison Barger, he has risen up the Blue Jays prospect ranks this year. This is a dude who has been with the Blue Jays since he was 18. He's now going into his age 22 season shortly. He, at the beginning of 2022, started in low A. He played in all four affiliate leagues, high A, double A, triple A. He found his swing, for lack of a better way of putting it. He's a left-handed bat. He plays second base. He plays a little third. He plays some left field. He can move around the diamond. And if you haven't heard of Addison Barger, put him in your notes because you're going to. He's probably going to debut with this team in 2023 at some point. Now, to answer, what is it, at Blue Jays Blue Balls question, it would take a few things. I think it would take a pretty darn good spring training out of Addy to get consideration here.
Okay.
I would think it would take the Blue Jays deciding that they are not going to go out and grab another outfielder for this big league team. So, Jurickson Profar, Max Kepler. These are guys that obviously wouldn't be acquired, and it would leave a hole open for them to fill internally. I don't really think this is going to happen. I think the Jays are going to go out and grab another lefty bat. However, there are some internal options, and Addison Barger is one of them. And if he has a really good spring training and there is a hole to fill, it could be his hole to be had. Now, Addison Barger has been added to the 40-man roster. So he is available right out of the gate. And Nathan Lukes is another guy that maybe to keep an eye on, who is on this 40-man roster. Personally, and Adam, you can step in and give your opinion here, I don't think he's going to make this team out of spring training. I think that Addison Barger is going to be an addition to this Blue Jays team, but not till later in the year. Probably May, June, maybe an injury, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I could see him being like an Otto Lopez type this year, where he's in the dugout, but not really seeing much playing time. I'm not super sold on Addison Barger being a legit contributor to this team. I know there's a lot of hype around him over the last 6 months, I would say. I'm a little bit tepid. Remember Kevin Smith?
Sure do.
Man, did he ever play well in AAA in 2021? Came up to the big leagues, did not exactly make the transition nicely with the Blue Jays, but he was one of the centerpieces to that trade for Matt Chapman.
Yes.
Did not play well in Oakland. Looking at his stats right now in Oakland, 47 games before getting sent down. He hit 180 for the Oakland Athletics last year with a slugging of 302. I'm not saying Addison Barger is Kevin Smith.
By no means, but I get what you're saying, which is 95% of prospects don't work out. And
that you can really play well in AAA and still not work out. Like, AAA success is not a guarantee, I would say, even half the time of Major League success. I could be wrong on the numbers there, but
to bet on Addison Barger making this team as the front office, I don't like that. I don't like that move.
Yeah, we've talked Matt Chapman going into free agency this year, right? And should the Blue Jays extend him? What's the plan with Matt Chapman? Addison Barger is a name that gets, you know, or Elvis Martinez, Addison Barger. Ooh, the thought of Addison Barger as our everyday third baseman in 2024, I don't like that. Maybe he proves us wrong.
And this is what I would like to see happen, is I would like to see the Blue Jays fill this hole from the outside, you know, the left-handed hitting fourth outfielder. I would like to see them go out and bring someone in so that there's not a glaring hole that needs to be filled, which would be done from within. I would like to see Addy Barger given his opportunity if one arises. You know, injuries happen all the time. And if he can come up and prove he should be there, then the spot is his. Like, that's the dream scenario, in my opinion, right? Is that there's a third base hole that is needed to be filled come 2024 with Chappie being a free agent. Somebody like Addison Barger comes up because there's an injury or something, and knock on all the wood, I'm not saying, you know, bad talk goes to Chappie or whoever it is, but even if it's a second base scenario or a left field where he comes in and you can show that his bat works, then we can work around defense. But if his bat's not a major league bat, it's irrelevant to me what he can do in the field.
So we played,
then you're just playing with Kevin Smith. Sorry, Adam.
He played 69 games in Vancouver. 14 home runs, OPS 924. Very good.
High A.
Double A, played 47 games, batting average 313, OPS 912. Very good. He played 8 games at the end of the year in AAA at Buffalo. 3 home runs in those 8 games. Slugging of 677. So he hit over 300 at all 3 levels last year. Showed power. I mean, 14 home runs in 69 games in Vancouver. 9 home runs in 47 games in AA. And 3 home runs in just 8 games at AAA. It's very encouraging.
It is.
I was talking with my brother. Obviously, I'm visiting him right now. He thought Blue Jays, I don't know if he's serious or not, but I kind of like the idea. Blue Jays should move the fences in Buffalo. Just really pad the stats of all of our AAA prospects just to flip them. You know, catch another team sleeping at the wheel and go, wow, Aurelvis Martinez hit 67 home runs in Buffalo this year? Holy shit. I don't really overpay for him. So I like that idea. Anyways, okay, that's enough of that. Let's talk.
Well, before we move on from this, I do want to bring up Aurelvis Martinez and point out a stat that is absolutely mind-blowing. So this 20-year-old kid hit 30 home runs in AA and had an OPS plus of 93. So he's below 100 is average. So think about how much power Aurelvis Martinez has and how many strikeouts you have to have to still be a below average OPS. Like, it is mind blowing, man. The lack of plate discipline on this kid, which is what 20-year-olds struggle with. But I just wish all Blue Jays fans who had Aurelvis Martinez on this pedestal and this idea that he is our 2024 third baseman to maybe just take a breath and realize player development is not the same for every player. And Aurelvis might be one of those guys that we see as a true, legit major league player at 24 years old, which isn't even that old. And I hate to break that to you, but it may take him 2 to 3 years to figure out plate discipline.
You ever seen the movie Signs with Mel Gibson?
That's where they kill people with water, right? The aliens.
Yeah, they kill aliens with water. Great movie. It's an all-timer. Anyways, the Joaquin Phoenix character there led his, whatever, high school or college in, like, all-time home runs, right? And the question always is, well, why didn't you go pro? It's like, well, because I also led the league and set the record in strikeouts or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just funny how hilariously poorly that line has aged, because nobody would care nowadays. They'd be like, oh, he leads the league in strikeouts? Perfect. But he hit 50 home runs? Even better. But yeah, Aurelvis Martinez is going to need a little bit of polish. We got some comments to referring to the Blue Jays and the prospects and the Houston Astros, and Jeremy Pena, right? Rookie of the year. I don't know if he's going to win rookie of the year or not, but World Series MVP, I would say probably a good consolation prize if you miss out on rookie of the year. Yeah. 25-year-old rookie. That's the more conventional age for a Major League Baseball player. And I just want to gently remind everyone.
Everyone's Vladdy.
Jeremy Pena, rookie season. Very good, right? Very impressive rookie season. 25 years old. He's older than Vlad. He's older than Bo. He's older than Alejandro Kirk. Have a little bit of patience and recognize that, like, most of the time you're not going to have a 21-year-old rookie that can just hang with the big boys. And we have 3 of them, and it's absurd. It's, like, so absurd.
Vladdy was walking as much as he struck out in AAA. Think about that. 6% is Aurelvis Martinez's walk rate. 6% strikeout rate of 34%. They
are 6 times higher. Wow.
They are different animals.
That's not to say don't be excited about Aurelvis, but
yeah, of course. Do you know how many 20-year-olds hit 30 plus home runs in AA? None. Like, it doesn't happen. But
I mean, that's worth noting too, is that everyone else on that home run leaderboard in Double A was like 22 years old. He's the only 20 year old on that list.
Yeah.
So very excited about Aurelvis Martinez, but just recognize the fact that like Alejandro Kirk was a freak to come up and do what he did as young as he did. Vladdy, freak. Bo Bichette, freak. And I know I'm going to get pushback, and there's going to be other names of other players who have also done that. But it is the exception, not the rule.
Not the rule. Exactly. That's all we're saying. We know there's other players out there that are great at 21.
Most
Julio
of the
Rodriguez.
Time,
but
it's a Dalton Varsho type. Makes his debut, plays 30 games at age 23 or 24. By the time he's 26, they're good. These kids, I think, have skewed the opinion of a lot of spoiled, and I hate to say that in a negative way, but as Blue Jays fans, we've been spoiled.
Yeah.
We've been spoiled. We've been treated by super young, super talented kids, and I think the expectations have gotten a little bit unrealistic on some of our prospects. So there's my Debbie Downer for the day.
Okay.
Now it's Joel's turn. So, hey, Commie, friend of the show. Was not a fan of the Dalton Varsho trade. I can't wait. We're going to have him on in January. We're going to talk. We're going to hash this out. I just love Joel. Couldn't disagree with him more, but that's why we love him.
So before you read his comment, just a few things for everyone. Joel has straight up said he likes Dalton Varsho. Mm-hmm. He has nothing against him. He thinks that he is probably a pretty good ad from this team. However, go ahead, Adam.
So we're in this text chain with Joel, and he gets special treatment on Mailbag because obviously long toss regular. Oh, by the way, big congratulations for Hey Commie. Some of you may know him as the guy who like brought the sticky stuff scandal to the spotlight. Major props to him. I think the whole response from MLB was from the success Joel had highlighting all the sticky stuff and that abuse that was going on two seasons ago now. Very big following on TikTok. Most of you probably know him as that. He's also a filmmaker. And I just want to throw some congratulations to him because, like most people in the entertainment business, you toil away in the shadows for years and years and years, and then most people never get their due. But Joel is really having a moment here. So he's having quite a few of his scripts. He's a screenwriter, so a lot of his scripts are being filmed and produced, and he's got a TV show, I think, on Shudder coming out that we're excited to see next year.
He's had a huge year. 2022 was big for Joel.
He's literally working on a script with like Tommy John of the Tommy John surgery to do a biopic about his life. Tommy John has signed off on it. We can't get too carried away and reveal too many details. I don't want to get him in trouble. Anyways, he's got another movie that just got into the Cannes Film Festival.
Yes.
So that's what I wanted to say. Cannes. The International Film Festival that even if you don't follow films, you've probably still heard of. So anyways, very cool for Joel. He's having himself a heck of a 2022. I just want to say Merry Christmas, Joel, and congratulations, buddy. So, okay.
And now we're going to disagree with your comments.
So we built him up. Now let's tear him down for his terrible. No, just kidding. So Joel is spiraling a bit, I guess is the nice way to put it about this Gabriel Moreno trade for Dalton Varsho. He points out that Dalton Varsho, because here's the Dalton Varsho supporters love to point to war, right? Well, Dalton Varsho had a war of 5.4, which is more than Lourdes and Teoscar combined, right? Great. I'm, again, still not the biggest believer in war, but let's put a pin in that. Joel says Gabriel Moreno had a 0.7 war in just 69 at-bats. Not in 69 games, in 69 at-bats. Nice. What did he extrapolate that to? if he played a full season or as many at bats as Dalton Varsho, we would have had a WAR of like 6.5 yeah, or like 7 or something absurd.
Or something like that, yeah.
Which is just, I mean, hilarious because you can't extrapolate numbers like that. It never works out. I mean, if Danny Jansen had that many, he would have been an MVP candidate, right? Like, would have hit 40 bombs. And anyways, Joel says, I'm at the point where I know that they don't have some superior intelligence driving their decisions. They're just getting what they can get in the moment. So this is in reference to Ross Atkins and Shapiro. He's not a big believer in this front office. I know you and I are believers. He's not. He's even critical of Shapiro. We say Shapiro isn't getting fired anytime soon because he's at the helm of the stadium renovations and the potential new stadium that might get built down, you know, in a couple of years or whatever, right? And Joel's pushback on that is like, well, what experience does he even have in building major league stadiums? Right?
Yeah,
in major league stadium design.
Heading up the renovations even. Yeah.
That's how down on him he is. Which, by the way, I think is hilarious because what is there? 4 people that have experience in major league baseball stadium? Like, it's a very specific piece of architecture. So, anyways. Joel's down on Gabriel Moreno being traded away. Very high on Gabriel Moreno as a player, and with good reason.
Yeah, he's a great prospect. He could be an all-star. Could. Yeah. I really would like to just clarify a few things when it comes to this front office. Has the rope I'm giving them shortened? Yeah. Like, I'm not insane. I'm well aware that this front office has been at the forefront of this team for 6 years. They have gone through their rebuild. Their timeline has so far, although disappointing in how far they've gone in their playoffs, been pretty much what they stated, right? 2020, they should be pushing for a playoff spot. They actually won, got into the playoffs in 2020. I mean, that doesn't really count because 16 teams got in, 60-game season and COVID and all that shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
2021, they won 91 games. I know they didn't make the playoffs, but kind of aligned with what they were saying. They pegged 2022 as when they really will be contenders for the World Series. Listen, I know that they got eliminated in the wild card series. I know how heartbreaking that was watching them in that 10-9 loss to Seattle. It's still one of the more disappointing moments in my sports watching life.
Yeah.
But it's lined up with what they've said. I don't think, like, there's a lot of people saying this team's not even a playoff team anymore. I mean, personally, I think that's completely insane.
It's absurd.
And I love Joel so much. And one of the things I love about Joel, hey, commie, he wears his heart on his sleeve, man. And you got to love that in a sports fan. Like, and he's a numbers fanatic. He's insane when it comes to numbers. He can find you sample sizes that would make players that you were like, no, Bradley Zimmer will never get signed again. Joel has the ability to find a sliver of hope for guys like that. But 69 plate appearances. Let's reel it in a little here.
Yeah, I mean, small sample. You always prefer, and I always say this, when it is a small sample size and you have to qualify what you're about to say with admitting that, yes, it's a small sample size. I would still rather a good small sample than a bad small sample, for sure. But can I just pivot this to the Shapiro Atkins team again and the attitude that they are terrible at their job and a lot of the proof of that is like, yeah, the early exit last year sucked. But like, how many series did the Dodgers win last year? Oh, they lost in the first round as well. You know, like they weren't in the wild card, but they still lost 3-1 to the Padres and went home without making any advance in the play. Like, it still happens. Nobody's on the Dodgers about being a terrible front office because of the way that went down. The Mets went down in the wild card. The Atlanta Braves lost to the Phillies in four games and didn't win a single series. But yeah. Alex Anthopoulos still gets all the love from all these crazy Blue Jays fans that hate Shapiro and Atkins. We were just watching, okay, Atlanta Braves just the other day, well, last week traded for Sean Murphy, right? Just the other day signed him to a five-year deal, 6 years, $70 million or something like this. And Jeff Passan put together a tweet of the Atlanta Braves signings and the contracts they've put their young stars to, right? And it was Ozzie Albies, Ronald Acuna Jr. It was a pretty impressive list. You know who wasn't on the list? Freddie Freeman, who walked away. Dansby Swanson, who walked away. Like, Alex Anthopoulos is not some, like, perfect GM who, like, never misses. He has a World Series ring. I can't argue with that. So the proof is in the pudding. But that Ozzie Albies contract and the Ronald Acuna Jr. contract don't exactly look like home runs 3-ish years into those deals, right? I'm starting to miss some time.
Acuna probably, like, the only downfall to the Acuna signing has been his ability to stay on the field.
But that's a big ability. This is my point, though. It's like, I don't care if he hits 400. If he only does it in 70 games a year, I'm not thrilled with that contract. Now, again, we're lots of time left for him to put up 158 games and seasons and whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, by 2026, we could be looking at this Braves team and going, man, did Alex Anthopoulos ever roll the dice and really paint this team into a terrible corner?
I mean, the revisionist history has been absolutely insane, in my opinion, when it comes to Alex Anthopoulos, who I freaking love, man.
Of course,
and I was
me too.
so devastated when he went.
Look, he
on
put
his
together
way,
the team that in recent Blue Jays history, a lot of us look back at very fondly.
Yeah.
The Batista, the Encarnacion, the Russell Martin years. Great time.
But let's not forget that he was on the verge of being fired in 2015 before he pushed his chips in and pulled off one of the greatest trade deadlines in Major League Baseball history. And I'm not saying that there's not some real talent and some praise that deserves to be thrown on him there. But my goodness, like right at the end to pull it off like that. And then there's this, I'm on Blue Jays Twitter. I know you're not a Twitter guy, but my goodness, the amount of people who say things like, oh, and then Shapiro got hired and had such an ego that he couldn't even make room for Alex Anthopoulos. He had to bring in his own guy. But they do that without even acknowledging that there was a 5-year contract on the table for Alex Anthopoulos to sign. And the reason Anthopoulos went a different route was a few reasons. Number one, he wanted full autonomy on decision making. We already are well aware the Shapiro regime does not operate like this. Mm-hmm. We constantly hear collab.
Right.
It's all about collaboration. And so that was a stumbling block Shapiro wouldn't move on. But on top of that, Anthopoulos was pissed with Rogers that he didn't get given the president job.
Right.
So to blame Shapiro for Anthopoulos not being on this team right now is completely putting your blinders on and ignoring all of these other scenarios and obstacles and things that happened in the past. And this is coming from a huge Anthopoulos fan. I was devastated when he left. But how can you put that on Shapiro?
There is a... You've watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
You know it.
Okay, because we're going to get to what you're watching this weekend here right after this. But let's go off on a little tangent, and I promise this all circles back, so just stay with me. There is a episode where the gang is playing a homemade board game called Chardy McDennis. Have you seen this episode?
Yes.
Okay. So there is a penalty for one of the rule breaks that happens in which Danny DeVito's character, Frank Reynolds, has to eat a cake And he goes, oh, that's not so bad. And they go, no, 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 no. You have to eat the ingredients of a cake. Right? You have to eat the flour, the raw eggs, you know, all this stuff, right? The ingredients of a cake, when given time, are delicious.
Yes.
But if you eat them before they're ready, not so delicious. And this is where, you know, in the small term, I say we can't evaluate the Teoscar Hernandez trade in a vacuum just on itself, right? It has to work together with the eggs and the other ingredients to form a cake. And this is also on the bigger time scale where we're at with the Blue Jays in this competitive window that we always hear so much about, right? Is that we can't evaluate this cake before it's baked, right? Are you with me here? Like, there's going to be
this
a certain
is up there
point
with your,
where
this
20...
is an analogy for the ages, buddy. I love your analogies.
So there comes a point, maybe it's 2030, maybe it's 2035, maybe it's 2028. I don't know. But there comes a point where we are going to look back and go, how was the cake, right? How was Ross Atkins as a baker? Did he bake a good cake or not? Right, and we're gonna
see. Are we just shoving flour into our mouth?
Shoving flour and raw eggs into our mouth. But that's where we're at right now. Is we're going, well, this cake batter doesn't taste good, and I was like, of course it doesn't. But when we look back and how many rings did they get, is going to be the ultimate evaluator, right? So, is there going to be growing pains and uncomfortable transactions that need to be made? You know, did we sign Bo? Did we not? Did we let this guy walk? Did we trade that fan favorite? Did we bring in a new guy that worked out or not? It's all going to come down to hindsight, and that's going to be the only time where it will be fair to evaluate, right? So let's wait to evaluate the cake until it's baked. You're allowed to be concerned when you see someone adding Worcestershire sauce to the cake batter, but let's just trust that they know what they're doing because we don't really have another choice, I guess is my point.
Yes.
Right.
That's a great point.
He's the guy.
We don't have another baker. No.
So he's the guy. We might as well let him show us this Worcestershire cake that he's working on and hope that it in the end balances with the other ingredients and works out. So,
well, this was my argument for Joel when he was complaining, is I was like, we're in too deep. It doesn't matter now. Like, yeah. We either got to see where this freaking cake goes or we're screwed. Cause if we just bring in another regime, we're starting over.
Yep. And yeah. All right, well, there you go. There's the cake analogy for the day. Appreciate everybody's patience. Scott, let's end with this. What you watching this weekend?
Throw some cheddar on there.
It is New Year's Eve weekend. What are you watching?
Should we get to the Cueto one first or no?
Oh, yeah, I missed the Cueto one. Sorry. More additions coming. We're just pushing an hour, so I thought.
Yeah, I know. We should wrap up. We'll do one more here.
Well, let's do this here. Okay, this is a good one. So there's 2 points for this one on the more additions coming. So there was a article that John Heyman had published about the Correa deal with the Mets could somehow affect the Blue Jays via Eduardo Escobar, maybe being a trade option for the New York Mets if they want to get rid of him. So Darian416 on Twitter just wanted to say. I don't know about you guys, but I think Eduardo Escobar would be the perfect bat to add to the Blue Jays lineup. He could play second, short, and third base, and he's a switch hitter. Scott, how do you feel about Eduardo Escobar?
I really like this idea. Obviously, this is a scenario that would probably require a second baseman being moved on the Blue Jays as well. And I mean, who knows if Carlos Correa is even going to the Mets? There's no way they move Eduardo Escobar if this whole Correa deal goes south. Mm-hmm. But he's a really good option. His versatility is great. He has played a little bit of left field. I don't want to necessarily see Eduardo Escobar out in left field. However, the fact that he's a switch hitter, the fact that he does have that Lourdes Gurriel ability to get really hot and carry a team for a month is nice. He's not, I don't necessarily wish to see Eduardo Escobar as an everyday player, but yeah, as a bench piece, as a guy who has the ability to put the bat on the ball from both sides of the plate, I'm all for it. 20 home runs last year, a wins above replacement of about 1.2, 495 plate appearances, he would fit.
Sure. My only pushback is this. He's not a free agent. We're going to have to trade something to get him. What are we trading to get him?
Well, it would depend on where the Mets are at. Personally, I think the Mets are probably in a scenario with Eduardo Escobar where, you know, their farm system could use some bolstering. They have the most money on the books of any team in all of Major League Baseball. And I know Steve Cohen acts like it doesn't matter, but it matters a little bit. So if you're going to have a guy on the bench like Eduardo Escobar making $5 million that's just sitting there not really contributing.
Sorry, Eduardo Escobar making $9 million, $9.5 million, $10 million
will
be his luxury tax for 2023 and 2024, the club option. Obviously, that's an easy one for the club to walk away from if that is the case and he's just a bench piece the way the team's shaping up now.
So probably a low-level prospect.
You think just a low-level prospect?
I mean, I don't know if you'd even need to go top 10.
Just a straight cash deal, hey? Like, you take $20 million off our books and just give us your number 75 prospect and we'll call it a day?
I don't think it would be that low down. I think there would need to be some upside to the prospect. Maybe like an Adam Mackle type of scenario, right? I was just going to say an Adam Mackle
kind of guy.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I mean, he's 20 to 30 home run power, switch hitting, some versatility. 33 years old, just had his birthday yesterday. Happy birthday to him. I would just rather go into the season with Kevin Biggio as that guy, platooned with Espinal and Whit Merrifield, than bringing in Eduardo Escobar.
That's fair.
I think there is another move to be made, another addition to be brought in. Just that doesn't really excite me. If we're going to spend $10 million on him, I would have rather us gotten Conforto, if that's the case. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's fair.
I mean, that's past tense now, so that's not doable. Yeah. But
no.
Yeah. Okay. Jurickson and Profar, I'd take him over Eduardo
Escobar.
Yeah, me
too. I think I would too.
Okay. Johnny Cueto, though. Last one, and then we'll be out of here. So, Cripatron11 on Twitter DM'd us the MLB Scoops tweet about the Jays' interest in Johnny Cueto and said, "Hey, boys, I think Cueto might actually happen. Thoughts?" Scott, what are your thoughts on MLB Scoops, a self-proclaimed MLB insider on Twitter?
Okay, so, I mean, this came out 2 weeks ago as well, that the Blue Jays were interested in Johnny Cueto. So, I mean, this isn't new news necessarily. I think that there is a fit here, and I think that there is some interest from the Blue Jays. Although something came out yesterday that made me go, huh.
Okay.
Maybe this changes the directions the Blue Jays go with starting pitcher. Hyunjin Ryu had Tommy John surgery in June of 2022, and it has been stated he is ahead of, or at least on par with, the progress for him to return to this Blue Jays starting rotation in July. So my question for all of you watching right now, and feel free to drop a comment there and let us know what you think, do they wait this out? Do they roll with the possibility of going with their fifth starter as Mitch White or Yusei Kikuchi? Maybe hoping that Ricky Tiedemann could contribute. Maybe hoping that a guy like Nate Pearson maybe can be built up a little bit. Do they try and get to July with the starting rotation as is? I don't know if I necessarily like that idea, and maybe Johnny Cueto for 1 year, $10 million, which is probably around what he would receive. Maybe that does work. Johnny Cueto, of course, had a great season last year with the White Sox. He pitched almost 150 innings. I think his ERA was below four anyways, 3.5, something like that. On a 1 year deal, I think Cueto's a great fit, but with Hinjin Ryu coming back, maybe this front office truly believes they can allocate resources elsewhere and not necessarily limp through. That would be the worst case scenario, but get through on Yusei Kikuchi, Mitch White, Nate Pearson, Ricky Tiedemann until that point where Hinjin Ryu comes back. I don't know, man.
Okay, I just want to address the fact that thoughts on MLB scoops.
Yes.
You know how I feel about this. This is darts at a board nonsense. I mean, I just, maybe it ends up happening, but
yeah,
this isn't like a real rumor.
This isn't Jeff Passan by any means, right? Like, this isn't Ken Rosenthal being like, my ears to the ground and I'm hearing the Cueto train coming to Toronto. No.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's really easy to get excited, but it is almost predatory the way some of these accounts operate in the, and you know what? We're all doing our best to try and get eyeballs and clickbait. And I love clickbait as much as the next guy. Don't get me wrong. But it's real easy to just, oh, a particular team needs an outfielder, and here's an outfield free agent. Let's just throw those two in a tweet and say they're linked. And it's like, yeah, of course they are. And is Ross Atkins going to come out and go, no, the Blue Jays are not linked to Aaron Judge. Shut up at MLB Scoops. Like, of course not. So no one's going to ever get shot down. And you don't remember all the times they're wrong. So it does get cited as like, well, MLB Scoops was also like right about Chris Bassett coming to the Blue Jays. And it's like, all right, cool. So they got one. But they also have the Orioles being a favorite for Carlos Rodon. Like, I mean, it's hilarious to go through all these tweets from the past 2 weeks and just to remember that, like, oh, yeah, we're all just making it up. You know?
Yeah.
No, but MLB Scoops didn't have Dalton Varsho trade imminent to the Blue Jays. You know? You know, when it was like official and when the rumors became real was when real people started reporting on them. Yes. So just got to throw a little bit of water on that and not to poop on MLB Scoops. There's dozens like that. We're like it half the time. We try not to be, but just as far as like Cueto to the Blue Jays might actually happen. Sure, it might actually happen, but it's not because
you have insider knowledge.
It's just
the ability to look at who needs what and put things together.
Exactly, right? So
the darts at the board idea is a pretty apt example of what you're saying. Yeah.
So there you go. Johnny Cueto to the Blue Jays. It's official. It could happen. It officially
all right.
Could happen.
Let's wrap up here. Let's do what you're watching this weekend. What are you watching this weekend? You know what I was literally in the middle of right before we started this?
What's that?
Facing Nolan. The Nolan Ryan documentary.
I'm not Netflix, sure right?
Netflix, and it is phenomenal. It is so great. It is so fun to watch these old timers talk about how dominant Nolan Ryan was and hearing that story. And this is the thing, right? Is the Nolan Ryan Express. If you're a baseball fan, you're well aware of Nolan Ryan, but he was before my time, you know, like he was before my generation of truly being able to enjoy Nolan Ryan.
Watching him on a Sunday evening.
Like I was. By the time he was with the Rangers at the end of his career, yeah, I watched some Nolan Ryan. But, I mean, watching 45-year-old Nolan Ryan just wasn't the same as watching 25-year-old Nolan Ryan.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
So, but anyways, facing Nolan. Check it out, gang.
Very good. I'll add that to my list. You're the third person I've been recommended that from. So I'll add it to the list for sure. Mine is not baseball related. Mine is Violent Night with David Harbour. Of Stranger Things. He's Santa Claus, the real Santa Claus, and on Christmas Eve, delivers toys to a heist in progress and needs to fight off a bunch of bad guys with machine guns.
Amazing.
Isn't that premise enough to check it out?
I saw the preview and I'm like, I got to watch this.
There you go. So I'm sure it's going to be bad, but in all the best ways possible, we're watching it tonight. We're going to go to the movie theater.
Oh, nice.
We're going to buy some popcorn. We're going to bring it home. We're going to rent it on Amazon and we're going to, there you go. So
that's very fun.
All right.
All right, everybody. This was a long one, but thank you so much for all of your comments. Obviously, if we didn't get to your comments, apologies. Feel free to continue to try as this community grows. You can feel free to join our Discord. Link in the show notes. Always free to join at Walk Off Podcast on Twitter, The Walk Off Podcast on Instagram. If you are watching us on our Clips channel, please help us continue to grow and hit the subscribe button. And if you're watching us on our main channel here, the full thing, number one, thanks that you pretty cool that you have made the choice to sit and watch us as dummies for over an hour here. So thank you so much. But also, you know, help us grow there. Hit that sub, hit that like button. All right, gang, all the best. We'll see you when we see you.